In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This being the week of Thanksgiving, with Advent just a week away, you probably didn't think as you drove to church this morning that you'd be getting a crucifixion story in the gospel reading. I had a similar experience 15 years ago on Christmas Eve when I was giving the children's homily at the early service that day, and there were about 30 kids gathered on the chancel steps. I began my children's sermon by saying, "So who knows what we're here to celebrate tonight?" And a bunch of kids called out, "Jesus' birthday." I said, "That's right." And immediately, an 8-year-old girl shouted out, "But he died!" I said, "Yes, he did, and we'll get to that in about 4 months." So today, as we round the bend toward Advent, we are speaking about the crucifixion. I'll say something about why that is in a minute. The crucifixion, of course, can be found in all four Gospels. But this version in Luke is the only one where we get this fascinating character of the repentant criminal. The scene is, or at least should be, familiar to all of us. Jesus, condemned to death by the Romans, hangs on the cross between two criminals who are crucified for their own crimes, we know not what. The first criminal derides Jesus, Luke tells us, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." It's clear from the text that this criminal doesn't really believe Jesus to be the Messiah and doesn't think Jesus has any power to save him from anything. The second criminal is very different. First of all, the second criminal confesses his sins. He says, "We indeed have been condemned justly." Second, he decries the punishment of the innocent, in this case, Jesus, saying of him, "This man has done nothing wrong." Perhaps this repentant criminal should be the patron saint of the unjustly convicted for his confessing of Christ's innocence. And then we get the words that the criminal directs to Jesus himself. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." This statement does two things. The first is to confess that Jesus has a kingdom, and so is a king. Why does he believe this, while his partner in crime does not? We don't know. Did he see Jesus heal once, or hear him teach? Or is it something he perceives in Jesus as they both hang on the cross? The Bible doesn't tell us. But I have to suspect that his confession of his own sins and his care of the innocent allow him to see Jesus for who he truly is. Speaking the truth allows him to perceive an even greater truth. If we confess our sins and show care and concern for the innocent, our eyes too will be open to seeing who Jesus truly is. But it's that first part of the sentence that's the most curious. Three words: "Jesus, remember me." Does he mean that literally, as in, "Keep me in your mind"? That seems unlikely, because it wouldn't do him any actual good. And it doesn't take into account the kind of king he believes Jesus to be. So it seems more like he has an actual request, as in, "Remember me when you decide who should get that extra Super Bowl ticket." The criminal believes Jesus has real power to do something for him. But what that something is, he leaves up to Jesus. He doesn't say, "Jesus, get me off this cross," or "Jesus, punish my accusers," or even, "Jesus, see my soul safely to heaven." He says, "Remember me," which I think we can take as another way of saying, "Care for me." And Jesus promises the criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That second part must have sounded pretty great, the part about paradise. But that first part is just as important. You will be with me. Many of us are looking forward to seeing old friends and family this week. And when I think about seeing my brother, who lives in LA, whom I see a couple times a year, I don't think of what activity we will share in together. I don't say to myself, "I can't wait to play tennis with my brother," or "I can't wait to eat Thai food with my brother." I say, "I can't wait to see my brother." What we do or watch or eat together is almost beside the point. What matters is that we'll be together. As Psalm 133 says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity." Today's request by the repentant criminal is one of the simplest and greatest prayers in the entire Bible. "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, care for me." And the answer Jesus gives is just as simple and is the answer we should all want from him. "You will be with me." We get the gospel reading we do on this Sunday, called Christ the King Sunday, to remind us that Jesus is a very different kind of king. The crucifixion makes that very clear. In John's gospel, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends." In today's reading from Luke, not only does Jesus live that teaching, he tells the repentant criminal that he will be with Christ in paradise. That's the kind of king we have, one that gives everything for us and promises us that we will be with him and that he will care for us. Sounds like paradise to me. Amen.